This month, y'all, this month we are preaching from a sermon series titled, I'm About That Life. I'm About That Life. And I know some of you know what that phrase meant in the past, and perhaps it had somewhat of a derogatory meaning, that it's a phrase that really came out of the hip-hop and the rap world, that they would say, listen, I'm about that life. I'm about that thug life. That gangster life. That hardcore life. That street life. About making that money. I've got my Glock 9, but I'm looking from behind because I'm about that life, y'all. I'm about that life. Don't mess with me. That the phrase comes from that life. But to say I'm about that life means to live in such a way that whatever life I proclaim that I say I'm about, you can look at my life and say, yeah, I'm about that life. And I know some of you say it too. You use it in general terms. I'm not about that life. I mean, you can do what you want to do if that's the way you want to roll, but I'm not about that life. The question that we ask ourselves this morning, y'all, is what life are we really about? Yeah, you know, there are people in the business world, they're entrepreneurs, they're about the entrepreneur life. There are people in the sports world, they're coaches like Dion, they're about their coaching life and rising to fame. They're about that life. People are about that life. But what life are you about today? I dare to say, y'all, some of those thug life folks, some of those rappers that have been out there, they said they're about that life. But I wonder if some of them really are about that thug life. I bet you some of them were raised and reared in a normal home. They had a mom and a dad in the family. Financially, they did okay. They did well in school, which they ought to do. But they say they about that thug life, about that gangster life, and they're really not. They're fabricating, y'all. They're pretenders. They're wannabes. Talking about ducking some bullets. The only ducking they did was from a dodgeball in PE. That's all the ducking they ever did. But I'm going somewhere with this. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, it's not me, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I wonder, are we really about that changed life? Am I really about the Christ life? Am I really about, in every single area of my life, am I really about thinking about Christ died for me and I give up my life for him, I sacrifice for him? Am I really about that life? And so the purpose of this preaching series, this sermon series, is to challenge us in our thinking. And to simply encourage us in our behavior, our practical everyday life. Can we really say that we're really about the life of Christ? The same God that lives in you, the same Holy Spirit that lives in you. Are you following the unctioning of the Holy Spirit? Are you obeying and trusting him in every single area of your life? Or do we sometimes just say, listen, there's some areas in my life, y'all, where it's easy and convenient for me to follow the Lord. I don't have a problem with it. But are there some areas in my life where, well, Lord, I need a grace pass. That, because this over here, I like this. I'm gonna do this for a minute, God. But God, can you just wink? Can you turn your back for me? Can you give me a grace pass? But I wonder sometimes, Sister Iris, I wonder sometimes as God said, listen, I don't need excuses. I want results. Yeah. Oh, yeah, y'all don't think God is hard like that, do you? That's not the kind of God we serve. I have to admit, y'all, I have to admit, sometimes, listen, trying to do what God wants you to do it, it's a struggle. But is there anybody besides me that can say the struggle is real? Sometimes the struggle is real, and it's real, and it's real hard. But here's the fact. Here's the fact that God lives on the inside of you. Jesus lives on the inside. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, and he empowers you and me to do what God wants us to do. That we all about that Christ life. And we're not just a bunch of wannabes. So our first lesson in this series comes from Romans chapter 7, y'all. Romans chapter 7, we'll read verses 11 and then verses 18 through 25. Romans chapter 7, verse 11. Verses 18 through 25, y'all. Is it just me? Is it hot in here? But when you packing that extra weight, the struggle is real, y'all. The struggle is real. Pray for me. Romans chapter 7, y'all, verse 11 and then verses 18 through 25. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me." that sin put us at a disadvantage, and sin also deceived us. It used the commands to kill me because of sin, that we have a death sentence on our lives. But still the law itself is holy, and its commands are holy and right and good. Then over to verses 18 through 25, Paul says this, "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. So I'm going to encourage us all, as we're about this Christ life and this, we can have success over our mess. Y'all, we can have success over our mess. One of the best ways to describe the human sinful nature, the world in which we live, is I can't think of any better word than just a mess, y'all. That there's brutality in the world around us. It's a mess. That people are being murdered every day. There are children that are starving in third world countries. People living in abject poverty. With all the food and resources in this world, people are still dying of starvation. There's child abuse that's going on. People are being oppressed. Behind the false security of our gated communities and our expensive homes and our nice clothing and our big bank account and our titles, y'all, there's a world around us that's filled with mess, with chaos and confusion and disorder. But here's the truth. That we see sin out there. We see the mess out there in the global sense. But can I just say to you today that not only is it out there, but it's in here. And when I say in here, I say it's in each and every one of us. All of us deal with sin. All of us have some mess, y'all. We can sit here like we have a halo on our head, but all of us have some mess in our life that we have to deal with. And here's the thing, it's uncomfortable talking about personal sin. It's either me to talk about y'all's sin, but not mine. The sin that's out there in the world, but not my own. It's uncomfortable for at least a couple of reasons. The number one reason is folk feel like you're going to be judged. When I tell you what's up, when I tell you what I'm really dealing with, look at you, look at you. that we feel like we're going to be judged. And here's a concern that we have about the church and us being church people, that y'all, I use this, we can be judgy. That's my phrase now. We can be real judgy about people. We can hear about people seeing what, ooh, look at what they did. The preacher did this over there. The pastor did this. And we get to chatting and talking about them. Who starts praying for them? Because they're human too. Who really prays for the pastor that falls, for the preacher that falls? Who prays for them? But we can be judgy. And so sometimes we're afraid to talk about personal sin. And another reason is this. We assume that when we talk about sin, hey, I got some issues, I got some mess. Listen, people, well, you got some deep, dark perversion, some lustful thing. Well, what is it? So our minds get to swirling about people. What's that person seeing? What is it really? But listen, the deep, dark, perverted, that's not the only thing that's sin, y'all. The last time I checked, sin is actually sin. Let me ask somebody this. Don't nod your head. Just think about this. Have you ever just not liked somebody just by the way they look? You can't even figure out why you don't like them. I'm for real, though. I know you feel with the Holy Ghost and all of that, but have you ever looked at some? You don't know whether something in the recesses of your mind. It's something about that person. You just don't really seem to like them. Guess what? That's called prejudice. Because you don't even know the person. You know nothing about them, but you just don't like them. Anybody in the house today, listen, you've been so mad at somebody, you could spit fire, you could spit nails, you just angry, you just in a rage. Guess what that's called? That's called unrighteous anger. And y'all, guess what? That's sin. Anybody ever had a grudge against anybody? I mean, I can't give it to that person no more. They did such and so and so. Anybody ever had an unforgiving heart? That's sin, y'all. Anybody looked over at your neighbor and listen, you get up on a Sunday morning and you go into church and you paying your tithes and you look over at the neighbor and they living real good over there. They just roll up in a new ride, a new whip, y'all. You know, they got it going on over there. And you're like, why do you, are you, anybody ever been envious? Anybody ever been jealous? Guess what, y'all? That's sin. And anybody God says, I want you to do something, and you heard God speak, and it was clear, but you didn't do what God told you to do. Anybody know anything about the sin of omission and the sin of commission? God says, don't not do. God says, do and I don't. Omission and commission. Sin is just still sin. We see sin as big sin and little sin, but in the eyes of God, sin will always be sin. And all of us got some sin. All of us got some mess. So we clarify that. No little white lies. Well, I just got some issues. You know, I got some personal concerns, some personal preferences. You know, it's just my personality. It's just the way I am. No, you messed up, you jacked up, and it's sin. And sin makes us all messy. Even in the text, listen, I love Paul and his honesty. Even the great apostle Paul says, I got some issues. That's what he's talking about in Romans chapter 7. And I want us to know this, that although we have been victimized by sin, we have victory through Jesus Christ. That's the big idea of the text today. That's what I want us to know. Although we have been victimized by sin, we have victory through Jesus Christ. After you do a close reading of Romans chapter 7, it's almost as if, y'all, Paul, he personifies sin. That it's like this person that's getting on his nerves. But it's like this crazy person that finds joy in taunting him and keeping him in the middle of mess. But the same way that sin abused Paul, y'all, is the same way that sin, even in your Holy Ghost filled state, wants to abuse and victimize us today. A few things I want us to see in the text today. This first thing is this: sin put us at a disadvantage. That's what Paul says in verse 11. Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. The sin put us at a disadvantage. In Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about no longer being bound to the law, but we've been freed by Christ. But he talks about this issue of the law. And so we know what the law of God, we go back to Old Testament, that the law was given to God's people. It was given to them so they would know what God required of them, that they would know how to worship, that they would, you know, ceremonial things they had to do before God. They had the law. And so God gave them the law. God still gives us rules and things that we must abide by today according to his word. It lets us know that we are under God's authority still today. And beloved of God, God still requires us to trust him and to obey him. Anybody ever heard the expression, if you live in my house, then there's some rules that you have to abide by. If we're going to live under the authority of God Almighty, God says there are some rules that you have to abide by. Listen, God, I don't need an excuse, God. I need some results. That we all live under God's rules even today. Not the law. The law was for God's people, Israel. But be careful in your thinking. They had laws we don't today. Listen, there is what's called the law of Christ, Galatians chapter 6. That's the law of love. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we still have to abide by this. If you say you love God, you'll treat me right. If you say you love God, listen, you won't backstab me. If you say you love God, at least you ought to struggle with the sins that you have in your life. My fear is sometimes there are too many people that say, I love God, but they don't even struggle with what they're dealing with. The struggle is real, but deal with the struggles that you have. I think the struggles sometimes prove that we belong to God. Sin puts us at a disadvantage. Let me get back on task. It's like God put these speed limits, listen, in the lives of his people so that, number one, they would not offend God, and number, or what offense to God would look like, and number two, so that they don't hurt and run over other folk, and number three, so we don't kill ourselves. Yeah. But I wonder how many times do we pass by the speed limit because of sin. Listen, y'all know what it's like on the roadway. 70 miles per hour, that's what the speed limit is. But maybe you're just trying to get to church. And maybe you might just be a little bit late. And maybe somebody's a passenger that's looking over the speedometer at the driver and it's saying 85 and 90 miles an hour. And then maybe there's another member that comes in the car passing you, and you're looking at 85 and 90, you wonder, what in the world are they doing? But isn't that how sin takes advantage of us, y'all? Sin said, listen, I don't see nobody watching. The police not around. I can put the pedal to the metal. I'm in the driver's seat on this. But how many of you can be in the driver's seat, but sin will take over? Sin seizes the opportunity to get us to do wrong in the presence of what's right. The sign said 70. You ought to be doing 68. But that principle, that I'm just not talking about the road, y'all. I'm talking about life itself. That the word of God says this, but we say, I'm going to go right past that sign, y'all. And here's something, maybe I just learned about my life ministry to real, maybe it's just me. Listen, as soon as you put up a sign or rule in front of me, I'm being honest with you. Well, how can I break that rule? Well, what's that rule there for? And we question the rule. It's something about the human inclination that when we get somebody give us some rules, y'all, I ain't got to obey that. That rule is not, it may be for y'all, but it ain't for me. They say the curiosity that it killed the cat, y'all. In the text, y'all, what was intended for good, the command or the law of God, it was meant for good. It was meant to help God's people, the rule of his people, obedience to him, worship to him, following his ways. But sin, y'all, used it as a way to put us to death. What was intended for good? For our good, the devil meant for evil. The devil meant to destroy us. Sin personified meant to destroy. It was meant to destroy us. I want to say, don't underestimate the power of sin in your life, in my life. We think about biblical rules for intimacy, and we'll blow right through those signs. Forgiveness, blow through the sign. Marriage, blow through the sign. Spiritual, physical, emotional well-being, blow through the sign. Sin blows right through the sign, y'all. Sin puts us at a disadvantage because the law is good. The law was perfect. God's rules are perfect and good, but we're not. And so automatically we're put at a disadvantage. The next thing that Paul says, even over in verse 11, is this: sin deceived us. Isn't that what he says? Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. Paul said, I was deceived. And guess what? We get deceived too. Sin is a control freak. Sin wants control of your life. I can't say this enough. Because we feel like sometimes, listen, I can slip, I can dip, I can trip, I can say this, do that, and I can get away with it. And then we can say to ourselves, listen, I slipped, I dipped, I tripped, but anytime I get ready to quit, I'm gonna quit. But sin is like a dope pusher. You know, give you a little bit of crack, give you a little hit. And you find yourself fooling yourself, saying, listen, I'm going to quit, but I can't quit. I'm not going to do it, but I find myself, I keep on doing it. Sin deceives us. Paul said it this way: nothing good lives in my sinful nature. I want to do good, but I don't. Look at verses 19 through 20 real quick. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, this is a tongue twister, y'all. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Paul was a strong man of God, y'all. He was a great apostle. But anybody know even strong people struggle? I care who you are. That sin will laugh in our face and shut us down. Until I keep on doing what I told you to keep on doing. Anybody remember the movie The Exorcist? They probably got some remakes out today. I'm not a horror movie person. My wife is not a horror movie because they make it too real these days. They make it, it's like, ooh, you try to lay down tonight and sleep and them images hit your mind. It's like, yeah. Some of y'all love horror. I just can't do. But y'all remember the exorcism when a girl laying in that bed and the priest rolls in, you know, he gonna rebuke that thing and the girl like, click, turn off the TV. But you know that's television. That's make believe. But for real, that's how sin operates in our lives. That you can try to rebuke some stuff all day long, it don't go nowhere. It's still right there, still taunting you and haunting you. Apart from the power of God, we cannot break free from the bondage of sin. Thank God for Jesus Christ. So sin has a way of making things look good on the surface, y'all. It deceives. On the surface, it seems like it's okay. But there's an undercurrent, y'all, that will pull us under and take us downstream. Just about every year, y'all, when it's the rainy season, and we have these low water crossings. Is that what it's called?
Yes, sir.
And every single year, y'all, somebody comes to that low water crossing. I can make it. Now, how you and your Subaru, your Fiat, go make it through that? But it looks good because they're looking at the surface. And how many people every single year get in the middle of that water, get swept away on the roof of the car, waving their hand on TV, help me, on national TV, I need some help. Because sin deceives us, y'all. Sin put us at a disadvantage. That the command was good, that God's law is good, that God's rules are right, but in my human nature, Paul said, I just can't do it. I'm at a disadvantage. And sin deceives us. It makes me think, listen, it's all good. You can roll this way for me. It's going to be all right. But it deceives me by pulling me in and holding on to me. And this final thing, we almost out of here, y'all, is this: Paul says sin put us to death. That's what he said. He said it in verse 11 that it that it it killed me. Look at verses 21 through 23 again, too. Paul says this. I discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do good, what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with me. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. The struggle is real. That while in my regenerated spiritual nature, I want to serve God, there's still this other thing on the inside of me that wants me to do wrong. Paul said, I'm a slave to sin. I'm most miserable, that he's dominated by sin and death. And here's the thing, just because we're breathing right now, y'all, does not necessarily mean that we have life. Yeah, maybe we have physical life. But just because you are breathing and have life, the Bible still can pronounce you as spiritually dead because you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people are walking around and they're dead and they don't even know it, y'all. That the death sentence is upon their, that's why evangelism is so important. That people are lost. People are walking in darkness. And we need to tell people about Jesus because people are dead. They're walking in darkness. They are blind. The human struggle can never overcome sin. Paul said, I'm a sinful man. I got sin in my flesh, in my nature. I can't do this. Human struggle can never overcome sin. Think about a fish that's caught by a hook in its mouth. The more that fish struggles with that hook, the deeper the hook sinks in. That's the way sin is. Yeah, yeah. That we struggle with it, and it gets deeper and deeper. But I found out something, what Paul is kind of alluding to. As long as we're struggling, y'all, and we realize that we're in sin, maybe that's the time that we can look up and see that there is a God and there's a Savior that can save us from our sin. Maybe it's in the struggle with sin we find an answer to overcome and be successful over our mess. I think about my granddaughter. That y'all, Aria, you can be in a room with her, and the room is clean, y'all. It's immaculate. She got her toys and stuff over here, and everything is looking good. And you turn your back, and you turn back around, and it looked like a cyclone hit the room, y'all. I mean, you got Barbie doll stuff over here. One with, they ain't got no clothes on, got a leg missing off over here. You got Legos over there. You got this over there. And let's admit it. So correct parenting would say, listen, you made the mess. You got to clean it up. But y'all, the mess is the mess. Karen, she already know me. Pop, gonna look at the situation. He gonna look at Aria and all her mess. Mama never says she need to clean it up. But Pop's heart says, but she little. look how big this mess is. This mess is too much for her. Just Pop, not me. Pray for her, y'all. Pray for her. But in her smallness, in her middle of her mess, what does Pop do? Pop comes in, and Pop begins to clean it up. Y'all, our mess was so much bigger than us, so much more than we could handle. And Pop, our Father, our God, looked down into our mess, and the Son said, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. That he came down, y'all, in the middle of mess, in the middle of a chaotic and messy world to save us from our mess. I don't know about you, but thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. The answer is in Jesus. That's what Paul said. The answer is in Jesus. The answer is in Jesus. I'm so glad, y'all, he came down into my mess, into my stuff, and he saved my life. He helped me to clean up my life. Paul said, verse 24, what a miserable person I am. Who will deliver me from this life dominated by sin and death? Thank God that the answer is in Jesus. Thank God the answer is in Jesus. You're looking for a solution. The answer is in Jesus. You're looking to be free, but the answer is in Jesus. You want to be free from the bond, but the answer is in Jesus. Only Jesus can set us free, and we can be truly free. Jesus delivered Paul, and guess what? Jesus delivered us from sin. That's what Paul is alluding to in those final verses. Thanks be to God. The answer is in Jesus. He delivered us. That he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It's by his stripes we are healed. That we sinned against God, but Jesus came, gave his life for you and for me. He died, but 3 days later, he got back up with all power to free us from sin. And for that, we ought to be grateful. The sin put us at a disadvantage, that it deceived us. It put us to death, but thanks be to God for Jesus. Jesus saw our mess and came down in our mess. He delivered us from our sin, from the dirty devil. He made us righteous when we were unrighteous. He made us clean when our righteousness was as filthy rags before him. That he gave us a delivery. It was a personal delivery, y'all. It was for you. That's why you ought to be able to shout. It was personal. That Paul speaks to us in the book, but he's speaking to us about us. It's personal. And it was a powerful delivery, a total delivery, a whole delivery. And God is still yet delivering us. And it was a special delivery that God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and for me. And so why do I want to live a life that should have success over my mess? A life that's holy and obedient to God. But thanks be to God for Jesus because of what he did. And if we don't get that little bit, y'all, if we don't really, really, really get what Jesus did for us in his holiness, that Jesus is and was God, but he died for you and for me, if that's not the main motivation of our right living and serving and being, nothing else can be. It's because of what Jesus did for me. Anybody glad today about what Jesus did for you? Anybody really glad that he set you free? That you can really say, I'm free, yes, I'm free, no longer bound, no more chains holding me. Are you really free today? I'm talking to some free folk in the house today. Do we have any really free folk in the house today? That you have been delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been set free by Jesus. Praise the Lord, I'm free. But wait a minute. You're going to finish up in a minute, but hold up for a minute, woo-woo. I gotta leave y'all with this, y'all. The whole truth, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I want us to see something in the text. Paul said in verse 16, I'm not the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. He also says, y'all, in verse 20, I'm really not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. But I need us to understand something, because some of us can look at these verses. I got some getaway verses here, y'all, to understand what Paul is really saying. See, Paul is not giving up his personal responsibility for his sin. But Paul doesn't subscribe to it wasn't me. You know, the devil made me do it kind of mentality. Or look, everybody else is doing it. Mindset, well, if they're doing it, I can do it too. That's not what he's subscribing to. Go back to verse 14, and Paul said, listen, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. Then we have to get to that point where the trouble is with me. It's me, oh God, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, God. It's me. Not, oh, it's the devil. Oh, yeah, but everybody else is doing it. I had somebody say that to me the other day, and it hurt my heart that they said it. Man, it's not something they did, somebody else did. But you know, everybody, look at what everybody else is doing. It ain't about everybody else. It's about you. It's not what's out there, the global. It's about you, and it's about me. That Paul saw his sin, that his mess, that it was a struggle between his redeemed self and his flesh self. And we all deal with that struggle, beloved of God. There's a redeemed side of us that's been bought with the blood of Jesus, purchased by him. And there's the struggle of the human flesh that wants us to struggle against that sin. And so don't abdicate or take lightly your personal responsibility to choosing to sin. When you sin, when I sin, we choose to sin, y'all. It's us. But Jesus can give us success over our mess. He delivered me and he delivered you. But has he delivered you in every area of your life? I mean, we want to be successful in our careers. For those that start their own businesses, you want to be successful in your business. For those that may be a CEO of a company, or you're a lawyer or a doc, whatever it is you do, you want to be successful at that. But how many of us really want to be successful in every area of our lives as it relates to our relationship with Jesus Christ? Are we really about that life? The life of Christ. Where we can truly say, I'm crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. But the life I now live in the flesh, I'm alive right now. But I live it as unto Jesus and not to myself. And whatever he wants me to do, I'm going to do. Wherever he wants me to go, I'll go. Whatever he wants me to say, that's what I'll say. So I give up my rights and see myself as being crucified with Christ. Am I totally about that life? Striving to live under his power and not my own. Or am I just, in some areas of my life, just a wannabe? Pray with me. Father, thank you for this word today, this series of messages that will come over this next month. Your word challenges us to examine ourselves to see if we are of the faith. Not just having faith, but the totality of what we believe about you, Father, and your Son, and your word, that we're putting it to practice. And God, if there are any areas where we struggle, we ask even now for your strength. We ask for your power and the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to overcome. Doesn't have to just be some deep, dark, perverted thing, but just, God, those areas, Lord God, where we're weak, where we don't always get it right, we don't say the right thing, we don't do the right thing. And God, maybe we just look for a grace pass to say, oh, that's just the way I am. But God, our hearts desire us to be more like you, to be like Jesus, to really be about that life. And Father, we pray right now for someone under the sound of my voice, someone that may be listening in right now, that listen, they're not in the saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And we pray in this moment by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would draw them. Your word says that you so love the world, this world of chaos and confusion, that you sent your Son into this world filled with sin. And he went to Calvary's cross and he died for our sins. 3 days later, he got back with all power in his hands. It's that Jesus that we declare. This gospel, Lord God, that we preach and we teach. And so if there's someone under the sound of my voice, we pray, oh God, that they would come to you today. We all admit that we've sinned and fallen short of your glory. We repent, we turn from our sins. We believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. We confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead. And your word says, that settles it. It saves us. So in this moment, oh God, draw them by your spirit, draw them by your power. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.